Chapter 70. Remarkably, a day on Mars is roughly the equivalent of a day on Earth, as opposed to Mercury, for example, whose days are almost 59 Earth days long. So we can use familiar language to mark our progress, like, yesterday we finished setting up the power cabling, and tomorrow we'll take one of the rovers out to the ridge. And we can enjoy the relative normalcy of eating together at dusk and sleeping at night. Today, day 7, marks the day the dome should be completed. Funny, 7 days of creation. I'm pretty sure Larson didn't do that on purpose, but if you accused him of playing God, he wouldn't totally disagree, and he'd chuckle at the comparison. Although, unlike God, Larson wouldn't let us rest on the 7th day. There's a solid month of work to do. No weekends, slackers. We watch, Larson and I, as the printing unit rolls in a 100-yard circle, painting the air with a PPMM. It rises with a nearly complete domed wall, inch by inch, sucked onto its surface with van der Waals forces and computerized magic. Meanwhile, we've completed setting up the mining drill, as it doesn't need its own dome, just battery power for the moment. It's made up of 3 parts. The actual drill, the excavator feeder, that's the part poor Jaden got his arm eaten by, and the sample analyzer. The drill's been boring into this little patch of soil and rock 75 yards away from the dome, humming efficiently. It's already at 30 feet, deeper than any of the rover drills ever on Mars. Larson smiles at the glistening dome and points to his comm. By tomorrow, we'll be standing on the surface of Mars without these helmets on, talking to each other like native Martians. How about that? Darn, I was just getting to enjoy continuously rebreathing my own body odor. Aurora snickers over the comm. Great, tomorrow we'll all be able to smell you. I keep forgetting that everyone can hear everyone else, most of the time anyway, through our shared helmet comms. I peer over from the drill to see where they are. Daniels isn't in sight. He must be on the ship. Aurora's still over at the power production facility, a huge field of 800 solar panels, patiently connecting about 1 million miles of dust blowers. She appears to be waving at me, so I wave back, but then I realize she's giving me the finger. Skylar and Drew are in a rover, still scouting the perfect spot for fuel production. I can see the teeny vehicle off in the distance, speeding along and kicking up the limitless dust this planet seems to produce. There are plenty of adequate sites for fuel production, closer by, but since we're not scheduled to start production until next week anyway, they've decided to spend a little extra time, as our little home here is, at least theoretically, scheduled to become a permanent facility. For a moment, I consider that this perfect spot search is really just a ruse to get some alone time. Skylar? Drew? You guys there? No answer. They've gone to private comms. Am I smart or what? Those two. Couldn't they have just sent out the helidrones? Larson looks down at me and grins. God, why does everyone within a 500-yard radius of you get so amorous? It's people paper. I just put people together. The rest simply happens. It's funny, though. You never got married. I've had my loves. Someday I'll tell you all about the step back paper. I look down. There's moisture on the drill. The brown viscous lubricant is bubbling up from the surface, approaching my boot. Damn, the lubricant's leaking. Stop the drill. Larson taps the control panel and the humming stops. Taps a few more times. Diagnostics running and... All looks good. Martha, are you reading this?
Yes, Zach. All subsystems appear to be working correctly. No leaks. You may proceed at will.
Larson looks down, then up at me.
Must have gotten some extra lubricant onto the bit when we were setting it up. Paper, I'm going to start it up again.
He turns on the drill, and almost immediately more of the lubricant starts bubbling out, then... Psh!
We've hit a gas pocket. I'm going to back it out.
The drill rises out quickly, and we both gape at the hole, because it's not a hole anymore. It's a puddle. The hole is filled with liquid.
That is not lubricant.
I lean down to get a closer look. Water? Some kind of methane mixture? I can't smell with the helmet on. Larson hands me down a flask.
Water's my guess. Amazing. Here, fill this. We'll have Martha do a test.
I submerge the flask into the substance. It's thicker than just water, more like a thin oil, and hand it back to him. He taps a little out into a small covered tray on the top of the sample analyzer and pushes a button to activate the combination of mass spectrometer, gas chromatograph, and laser spectrometer. Puts the flask into his zip pocket. We wait.
Martha, you get that?
Zach, can you clear out the tray and put in another sample?
Sure.
He wipes out the tray, taps in another. We wait again.
Martha, you get that? Come, dear, what's going on?
Sorry, this sample took longer than expected. Carbon, hydrogen, methane, as expected. But there is an anomaly.
We whip our heads around and stare at each other.
Did she say anomaly? Yes, paper. There is no record of an element with this particular mass and profile. It's an anomaly.
I fall to my knees and whisper,
Mom, you were right.
Another strange feeling washes over me, looking down at this puddle of something that wasn't supposed to exist, something my mother was willing to risk her life for. Suddenly, all the pieces of the puzzle, everything I've gone through since Nana found the red scarab, click into place in a single moment. I weep. Larson kneels next to me, a hand on my shoulder.
I was wrong. Your mother wasn't crazy.
No, she's definitely crazy. I laugh. Just not about this. Yes, Jane was right all along. The Gitanos and Wasteway for decades have killed and corrupted our government to cover up the existence of this element. They tried to sabotage this mission. They coerced the senators and congressmen they own to enact the Off-World Biocontamination Act. They nearly blew us into little red spatter in space.
But why? What made this substance something that Wasteway would want to bury?
Martha, as if reading my mind, answers into my calm.
Zach and paper. Based on preliminary computations, that substance is analogous to methane, but a highly concentrated variant. With some hardware modifications, I believe that flask could power our trip home.
Larson stands up, hitting his head on the corner of the sample analyzer, falling back to the ground on his ass, laughing.
The flask! It's 8 ounces! Are you serious, Martha?
I am always serious, Zach.
He turns over, now on his belly, his helmet inches from the little pool of the substance, and I join him, staring at it like a well full of gold. He's giggling.
Paper, do you have any idea what this means?
It's practically free energy. I dip my glove tip in and pull it out, a few drops on my finger. This much could heat a home for a year. It would put Wasteway out of business. No wonder they never wanted it found. I rub it into the soil and hang my head. I want Jane to know. I want them all to know. But our radio's blacked out, and God knows if we'll even be allowed to land back on Earth. He pats my hand.
Fear not, young paper. We'll be home in no time, safely on Earth before you know it. Martha, dear, in light of this discovery, I'd like to accelerate our departure. Eliminate the terraforming and farm experiments, halt the mining tests, and recalculate our departure date.
Silence.
Martha? Hello?
Nothing.
I guess.
And Larson lets out a groan. Before I can even look over to him, I feel the blade rip through my spacesuit and enter the flesh near my lower back, sending a white-hot bolt of pain through my body. I don't even have to look to know blood is spurting out of me. The weight of another person. On me. Trying to kill me. Aurora? Was my mother right about her, too? I had entertained the idea here and there, but I never really thought she had it in her, or had the motivation to destroy something so completely, just to claim herself a victory. Was she crazy in a much more dangerous and destructive way than my mother? Had she been hiding something dark and twisted from me this whole time, like I had hidden my true self from her? Was all the talk about sisterhood, all the affection, all the laughs, a lie? Could Aurora possibly be an unhinged lunatic trying to kill me? I turn against the power of her body on mine. I must see her face before I die. To know the truth, once and for all. My body is almost too weak, already losing oxygen and blood. But I turn my head enough, and against the glare of the sun in my helmet, I can see the silhouette of a hand with a knife, about to strike again, and I can just make out the face in the helmet above me. You?